What's your name, son?
Danny Bernstein. I'm from Deerfield, Illinois.
Dan Bernstein on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That's enough. Don't care. Not interested.
Insightful sports talk for your workday from one of Chicago's most respected radio professionals.
Professional what?
Professional penis.
You don't know what the hell you're doing!
Dan Bernstein.
The guy is full of hot air.
In a semi-permanent state of flatulence.
Middays on The Score.
We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk is set to join us at 10. We'll do the midway at 10:40. Hub Arkish at 11. He'll take your calls in the second segment today. And we also have other things to get to. There's going to be baseball news. We've got the Bulls in training camp and a whole lot going on this Layla Rahimi Wednesday on Sports Radio 670. 312-644-6767 is the Score listener line that is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. You want to email, you send that to Bernstein at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. Texts, go to the text zone. Brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. You text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter's at Bernstein670. She is at Layla Rahimi. I am at Dan_Bernstein. Download the radio.com app to stream The Score on your mobile devices. You can interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. We have a Twitch stream where you can see both of us, and Brian Gertsch is in charge of that stream, and he is the moderator of the concurrent chat at twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Our guests often join us there as well. twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Jay Zawoski, the executive producer. Ray Diaz, the executioner, the man on the board, doing what he does. So the last couple days, you know, Layla, I know that you've been listening in and involved in hearing all these conversations. Have you felt the same sort of palpable sea change in the way we're talking about the Bears? It does seem like the five-game losing streak has gotten us to the point of, for lack of a better term, a reckoning. That we're all talking about bigger things now.
Well, when the word pissed comes out of the senior McCaskey, or at least reportedly, I think that that's a big deal.
If we've gotten there,
on the air?
Yeah, I don't think we haven't heard that she's quite there yet. But the fact that they would get her to a Bears game at Lambeau Field, that they would actually travel their soon-to-be 98-year-old matriarch, and that she sat there for that and watched that, it's got to matter, right? Because
she's pissed off.
Yeah, I don't know about yet. I don't know if she's throwing a vase at somebody or whatever she does to evince that kind of anger. But, you know, now it's weird, the debate, because we spent all this time talking about who should go and how do you do it and then what, and is you know, does Pace go, does Nagy go, does that be a clean house? And then I pick up the Sun-Times today, and Mark Potash is saying, everybody slow your roll. If you look at the schedule, and you look at the reality that the NFL always snaps back to mediocrity, that always regresses to the baseline mean of mediocrity. Watch the Bears run off a few wins here and save everybody's job. So I don't know what to think.
Yeah, I sadly tend to agree with Potash. And when you think about the beginning of the season, what did the line say? What did Vegas say about where the Bears were going to be? 8.5, right? So
right.
We knew this going in. Then we all got a false sense of hope after the 5-1 start that we have talked about.
I did not
forever.
Get a false. No, I did not get a false sense of hope. I thought they were bad even when they were 5-1.
Right. We ask the question all the time: are the Bears good? We were
right.
Trying to figure it out. But there's a part of you, admit it, you wanted to think the Bears were good.
I always want to.
Right.
But they're never good.
So
but
then,
they're always bad. They always let me down.
Ergo, therefore, is that coloring your bias when you have disappointment for the next 5 games to end up where we are? And if you look at the schedule, it kind of looks like they're finishing around 500, doesn't it?
Probably.
For us, again, it's not easy.
The problem, too, to me is the setup of how this all occurred, because everything falls into succession from the very beginning. And I know people hate it when I bring it up, but it all comes back to the same major points here. There was Ryan Pace. Then there was Mitch Trubisky because of Ryan Pace's decision-making skills. Then there was Matt Nagy, perhaps to correct that situation. Then there was Khalil Mack. Then there were the subsequent draft picks, right? that begat, begat, begat. So to me, it creates this ambiguity where you don't necessarily know who's going to be gone if somebody's going to be gone. And I know a lot of people think that Nagy and Pace are a package deal. And I think ultimately they are. But I don't think anybody's ready to say, I don't know that anybody's ready to cut this off yet. Especially when, no matter how you look at it, this is not a normal NFL season.
No, it goes back so long, this idea of these sort of, you know, you're using sort of the biblical begats, but I always looked at it like almost like shingles of one on top of the other, just enough. And it's, I mean, you're talking back to Rod Graves, and then you have a coach in Dave Wannstedt, and then you hire Mark Hatley, and nothing ends up timed just right. Even when you made the move to Ryan Pace, even when you blew everybody out, the hiring of John Fox, that wasn't entirely Ryan Pace's doing. There were forces that were drawing John Fox closer, where it was Pace's decision, technically, nominally, he made the call, but it wasn't out of whole cloth that he just decided to do it. And that's what started us here. And there's already speculation that it could be Ryan Pace goes, and the first general manager is told, you get a year of Matt Nagy, and then you make your call on Nagy, and then you can hire a coach. So it would continue in that regard. But you mentioned, Layla, the idea that Nagy could fix some things. And that's what coaching really is. Coaching is maintenance. Coaching is keeping things running. It's optimizing. And that's really the question when you look at the job that he's done on this offense that just keeps getting worse. And earlier today, Mike Lombardi, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, was on with Mully and Haw, and they asked him where he would start if he had to fix the Bears' issues.
When you look at the Bears, if you're the general manager or the president, if you're Ted Phillips or the McCaskey family, you have to look at, can the coach solve problems? Can he solve problems? And if his area of expertise is the area that it's not getting solved, you've got real concerns. You've got real concerns because you can't fix it if that guy's expertise is in that area and he can't fix it. That tells you maybe you have the wrong guy. So when you look at the Bears, certainly the quarterbacking position is been problematic for 3 years. So we know that's players. The scheme is not very good. You've had two rushing touchdowns, one by a quarterback, one by a running back. So they don't play with any power. You know, last year you had eight. I was making fun of you when you had eight rushing touchdowns last year for Chicago, Illinois, cold weather city, windy, tough, eight rushing touchdowns this year too. So you know the scheme's not very good. And then obviously, are the players getting better? And you can honestly say no. You know, the utilization of Cordell Patterson makes you wonder about the coaching. The guy averages under 3 yards a carry, yet they insist on giving him the ball out of the backfield. So to me, it's broken in three areas. And when you're broken in three areas, you have to make complete changes to fix it because there's just not one easy solution.
Go Bears.
Lombardi's been on one the last few weeks, huh? I feel like he's been really spot on recently. You know what he said that I found the most compelling out of all of that? It reminded me of what Joe Ostrowski's mentioned before. The biggest weather driver for an NFL line is wind. And when you consider that based on wins and losses, that's a really good point.
But then we should be running the football more. But Chicago isn't called the Windy City because of meteorology. It's called the Windy City because of political blowhards. I mean, so
about the weather. He's right about adjusting your game to the weather, and it does matter more than we give it credit for sometimes in NFL games. And I don't know why I came away from it with that, but I don't know about you. To me, like, to have Nagy call out the defense after this week, I get it because of what we saw, but man.
He was right. However, just because he's right doesn't mean it's going to come off the right way to make that point publicly. That, I think, is the difference. The fact that he chose to do it so publicly. We all saw the game. It was a bad game for the defense. It was. They got pantsed. It looked like they had their signals. They had their calls or whatever it was. It was bad. They missed tackles. They didn't look like they were popping around like they usually do. But I think it was the fact that he made that decision to say what he said publicly, wondering, you know, dude, this you should be maybe hold your tongue publicly, because you should be pretty thankful that this defense has helped buoy your overall regime when your offense has been lacking.
Yeah, just, and also, where's the culpability on your side of the ball that you've hired 10 zillion assistants for who can't
and got
take
your quarterback and picked out a quarterback who sucks?
And here's, it goes back to my initial issue with all of this. Can you really fire Nagy? Can you really fire Pace? Which one do you fire if you fire somebody? I don't know. I don't think we're there yet either. I just don't. But so many of these moves have been made because you needed to fix other mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Cole Kmet for Adam Shaheen. Chase Claypool's just hanging out. If you pick the right tight end 3 years ago, are you picking Chase Claypool in the draft? What the heck is happening with Allen Robinson? All these mistakes that you have to fix because of the initial bad decisions. And that, to me, that's where this all starts. It's where it all begins. And I don't know. When you start to figure out who you think is ultimately responsible, I think that's a very tough decision that at least requires another month or so, and probably for the Bears a year, because that's just kind of how they roll, you know?
And they make it tough on purpose. They've gone out of their way to say that, to not take credit or blame for individual decisions, to talk about collaborative. They do it on they diffuse responsibility on purpose because it helps people keep jobs. That's been a trick. Instead of somebody saying, I'm in charge, this is my call, it's on me, the kind of stuff that Theo Epstein says, the kind of stuff that Jed Hoyer says, kind of, this is my decision, my responsibility. You know, blame me if it goes badly. And that, we don't hear that with the Bears ever. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Glenview Luxury Imports. The North Shore's newest Alfa Romeo and Maserati dealership has arrived. Visit gliglenview.com. They've got it. In an effort to prepare us for something, you have been wanting to do, and I think this is the perfect time to get to it, I want to bring another Lombardi comment here, because I think this is going to prepare us for what you have been calling the sports monkey's paw. Because he was asked this morning by Mully and Haw, saying, is there a problem in the big picture? This is getting to exactly what you're hitting at here, and it'll take us right where we want to go. As, is there a problem with Ryan Pace, with Matt Nagy, or both?
You need to go back to basics. You need to say, look, we made a terrible mistake. I mean, I found it kind of funny that NBC was talking about how, you know, the torch was passed from Aaron Rodgers for 15 minutes for Deshaun Watson, and then it went to Patrick Mahomes, and they never mentioned that MVP Mitch was part of that same draft class. I mean, it was funny how they just skimmed over that. But you can't skim over that. You have to face the reality that we have to get better at quarterback. And the mandate has to be, look, until we fix our quarterback position, we're never going to be able to challenge these teams to win, because the rules are set up against the monsters of the Midway. We can't dominate games with defense any longer. So we're going to have to go out and find a quarterback. And the only way you go find a quarterback is to be honest with yourself. And that's the biggest challenge. And I think that's really what has to happen at Hallis Hall, is stop the blame game. Stop saying, you know, we're going to fix this player here. Understand your offensive line is a mess. Your quarterbacking situation is a mess. And to win championships, you need a great line and you need a great quarterback.
There's a lot in there that informs our next segment.
It does. I'm glad you're ready for this.
Okay, you, the Bears fan, are going to be asked a question. And here's the thing. It's not, obviously, it's sports radio, and we do, but really think about it. Really search your feelings on this and see if you could actually come up with an honest answer to the question Layla is going to ask next on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Yeah, what is this thing?
It is a monkey's paw dating back to Alal bin Abdallah. It has the power to grant wishes to its owner.
Oh, yeah? How much?
Sir, I must strongly advise you to not purchase this. Behind every wish lurks grave misfortune. I myself was once president of Algeria.
Come on, pal. I don't want to hear your life story. Paw me.
You'll be sorry.
With the second pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Mitchell Trubisky, quarterback, North Carolina.
Hello, Mitchell Trubisky is going to Chicago, and he will mentor with Mike Glennon. And the young man with just 13 career starts at North Carolina is trading in the NC for the C on the side of his helmet. And the city that hoped that Jay Cutler could be the savior now will put their hopes into Mitchell Trubisky.
Snap, Trubisky. With time, Trubisky going deep down the middle of the field, and it's going to be intercepted in the end zone. He overthrows Mooney, and the Packers have taken it away on the swipe. Two guys back deep, and the big catch made by Green Bay. It's Savage, the swipe. Four on one side, four on the other, and they do rush four with stunts. Here's Trubisky with time, going deep in a triangle of trouble. That's intercepted, intended for Miller. It's intercepted by Savage. They're going to say he's down with a football. His second interception on a throw into triple coverage, and the Packers have taken the ball away, leading 27-10.
With the 12th pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select Deshaun Watson.
Watson back in the shotgun, trips to the left. Johnson in the backfield to Watson's right. Here's the snap. Watson is back to pass. He looks, going deep down the left side, trying to find Fuller. He's got it. Touchdown, Texans. Deshaun Watson finds Will Fuller for a 40-yard touchdown strike. And the Texans extend the lead, now on top, 32-17, 12:09 to go. Watson under center, takes the snap, handoff, Duke Johnson running right, trying to get outside. He's going to throw it back to Watson. Watson has it, fires down the field. Fuller is wide open at the 15-yard line, and he will sprint into the end zone for the touchdown. A 34-yard pass, Deshaun Watson to Will Fuller, and the Texans are piling on. They lead 40-17, 10:07 to go.
And that passing average is going up. What a sell job by the Houston Texans offensive line.
That's how that's kind of funny that NBC was talking about how, you know, the torch was passed from Aaron Rodgers for 15 minutes for Deshaun Watson, and then it went to Patrick Mahomes, and they never mentioned that MVP Mitch was part of that same draft class.
Well, Aaron Rodgers has been right here a long time. He has a whole bunch of records, Packer records. In the NFL, the highest passer rating in NFL history. There's a minimum number. He has held that record for almost 10 years until Wednesday. And then the day before Thanksgiving, the man who's had it the longest, it was taken away. Why? Because Deshaun Watson had it, and he's held on to it for three whole days. Until about 3 hours ago, when Patrick Mahomes said, I'll take that, thank you. They needed enough throws and things to qualify, so it went from Rodgers to Watson to Mahomes, and Bears fans are saying, really, did you just dig to find a stat that shows Watson and Mahomes? We did, and it just worked out that way.
Tommy!
You'll be sorry.
The tapestry of sound from the Mexicutioner, Ray Diaz. The highlights courtesy Sports Radio 610, NBC, ESPN, our sister station, WBBM. Leila Rahimi, the floor is yours.
Ray Diaz, you painted that picture so, so well. Let's all just remember that a monkey's paw works by granting three wishes. And the wishes are granted, but always with hellish consequences as punishment for tampering with fate. In this case, both parties have hellish consequences. The Houston Texans and Will Fuller, who's now been suspended, Deshaun Watson and the Chicago Bears. And Dan Bernstein, when I asked you the question, would you rather be the Houston Texans wasting yet another generational player in his prime with Deshaun Watson, having drafted him, Andre Johnson, if you'll recall, J.J. Watt? Or would you rather be the Chicago Bears, who never drafted Deshaun Watson at all? These are your choices.
Tommy! Oh.
You'll be sorry.
It's such a brutal question. Like, which pain is worse? You know, what is the lesser to know you've drafted the right guy and then have your own self-imposed glass ceiling? I mean, to be with the Texans right now, to know that there he is, there is a generational talent, and now you've got this weird Rasputin televangelist running your team who's got the ear of ownership, and the players don't really know what's going on. You've got odd, you know, they trade away their great receiver, and he's there. He's right in front of you, and you get to see it and know that still nothing's happening. Is that actually worse than having a guy that you chose way ahead of that guy who is bad? And I think there's more exquisite torture to being a Texans fan, if that makes any sense. That there's just a more, it's a different kind of pain. And I think I'm not a neutral party, because as a lifelong Bears fan, I know the quarterback sucks. The quarterback always sucks. It's just part of it. It's just or if he doesn't suck, there's a fatal flaw that he's a terrible leader and throws too many interceptions and doesn't care. You know, it's always something. So I guess we'd have to ask maybe a more neutral party. I don't know, but it's what an awful question.
Yeah, when I asked you this question in passing, back when we were doing shows in studio, your level of disturbed was really, really high. And you're usually a pretty helicopter-type guy. You can hover up and see the big picture. But on this, your level of upset was so that I was very curious. But I also am a little dark and twisty when it comes to my life and sports and the ballet they're in. I'm used to this.
I like the question, though. I like the way you phrase it. That would a Texans fan want to trade places? And maybe it's not the same with a quarterback draft pick, but isn't this kind of what we're watching with Khalil Mack? You have one of the best at what he does at a skill position, and you got him, and there he is, and oh my God, the Bears got Khalil Mack, and it doesn't matter because your offense.
I think
blows.
It's a little different. I think it's different because they built this great defense around him. So with Akeem Hicks and Khalil Mack together, that's shake and bake. I'm there for that combo all day. Everybody knows we missed Akeem Hicks the other day. But to me, that defense is not the problem, right? Khalil Mack is not being wasted because of the defense that is around him.
Correct.
But this is not the first time the Texans have wasted generational talent. Andre Johnson was one of the best receivers in the league, and that was a terrible situation. Then they do it again in a way with Deshaun Watson. Now, Twitch is going off on this. A lot of people on Twitch saying the Texans, because it's easier to fix.
That's sort of looking at the future.
I think they have a point.
But they haven't fixed it, though. That may be, if you're looking for optimism or pessimism for the future, that isn't the same as assessing the level of current pain. You know, of where it's just that it is a, there's just, I guess, there's more sort of literary torture to having it there. There's more. It's a more complex, exquisite torture than it is just drafting a guy who never got good. It's just sort of the Bears had just kind of a flop, but this is an ongoing pain because that guy's still right in front of you. So I think it sort of depends how you phrase it. We've put the question at Bernstein670 on Twitter. I just retweeted it, and it is described as the Leila Rahimi monkey's paw. Which would you rather be? The Texans wasting Deshaun Watson or the Bears having decided on Mitchell Trubisky? And we're going to see how that comes in. Because the texters are also going crazy right here. The 815, it's better to love than never to have loved at all. It is better to draft the talent than to never have the talent in the first place. The 312 Texans.
Texans is going off.
Yeah, Texans all day. Said especially a generational quarterback banning injury or the yips. You've got 10 or 12 years to get coaches and GMs that can build the right team around him. Without a franchise quarterback, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity at a Super Bowl.
And then I love this because we talked about him before the show. You know who Twitch is bringing up now? Their show within a show, Dan. You know. If it ain't old Cuddy.
All roads lead back to that, right? Because that was its own kind of torture, too, knowing you had that kind of talent, and then you just had a guy who wasn't good enough and didn't care that he wasn't good enough. And
so can I...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I have to tell you this story because it colors my time in Houston so well. Do you remember when Bob McNair, the late great Bob McNair, ended up firing Gary Kubiak, who later won a Super Bowl? He's in this press conference, and Bob McNair says, "Mediocrity's not our standard. We've won two AFC South titles." Sir, that is the abject definition of mediocrity.
Y'all hadn't done a lot since.
That was when the Kansas City Chiefs on Hard Knocks at their very first meeting to kick off their training camp, where was it Lamar Hunt Jr., whoever it was, said, "Our goal in this organization is to win the Lamar Hunt trophy." And like, nope, wrong trophy. you set the goal, you're one trophy short right there. But yeah, you're right. That you know what that goes to? That goes to my theory of people who wear shirts that say division champion, or like they're proud, wearing a hat that says like Chicago Bears NFC North division champion. Like that is one of the biggest loser things in the world, is to wear anything short of a professional championship piece of swag.
Oh, we went off on this on Parkin's show a few weeks ago, and we decided the worst possible shirt was Washington football team NFC East 2020 champions 6-10.
No, that's cool, actually. I'm sorry. If you're I will have a very specific sub rule for that rule. If your team wins a division under 500, absolutely you should wear the hell out of that. Because that is like just an anti-achievement. I'm with that.
That's so bad.
It is really terrible. I love this text, too, who gets literary from the 414. He says, "To the ancient Greeks, they considered it heroic to pursue glory despite your fate of never being able to achieve it." He said, call it Hegelian heroism. That is, if you are fated, it is written that you will not achieve it, yet you still pursue glory. It doesn't make me feel any better. It might be heroic, but it still sucks.
That is a quintessential human question that really rocks you to your essential core of what you think is the essence of people. Oh, wow. This has gotten really off the rails.
Right?
Remember that time we were talking about Otto Porter and like Kirkland wine? It's been quite an hour.
Well, I'm glad we did this. There's some saying make Layla's sports monkey's paw a regular thing. Like this is there.
I can go there.
Okay. Every once in a while, we confront these questions about what's more painful or more awful. And I remember hearing when I at overnight camp when I was really little, I was probably 10 years old, and a counselor told as a bedtime story before cabin lights out, told the actual story of the monkey's paw in the really spooky way, like with the flashlight underneath his chin. And I remember being totally wigged out by it at the end, because they have the son that dies, and they use the second wish to bring him back, but they get the sense, like Pet Sematary, as he's shambling toward the door, that it's some undead, horrible version, and just as the door is about to open, the final wish, the mother says, "I wish him gone," and the door opens, and then there's just this, the whoosh of air and leaves that just kind of come in. And that's the end of the story. And that's I feel where we've arrived here. We've gotten us to a dark place.
Well, Ray kind of helped. I mean, that montage was amazing.
Right?
The music's still going.
Yeah, I like it. Mike Florio is going to have to follow that because we got to ask him what the hell the NFL is doing and where this is all leading. So we'll break from our existentialism, pull ourselves out of this emotional hole, and talk with Mike next on The Score.
Tommy,
you'll be sorry.
Go Bears.